I'd like to say good evening and welcome, and thank you very much for coming to this event. It is a forum for the applicants for City Council, which the opening was created by the death of Paul Teixeira, and Karen Ray then became appointed to the Board of Supervisors, creating a vacancy, and that's why we're here tonight. The City Council and Mayor of Arroyo Grande decided to save the expense of an election, a very wise decision, and instead to appoint the person who to fill the vacancy. We originally had five people for this position. Gloria Rivera has dropped out. One person, Christopher Fontes, was unable to be here tonight. The remaining four candidates are sitting at the table, and they will be giving their introductory remarks shortly. And they're sitting in alphabetical order. So we have Kristen Barnich, Dale Hansen, Barbara Harmon, and Burke Nelson. I am Marguerite Bader. I'm from the League of Women Voters of San Luis Obispo County. We have a team of six here tonight to make this forum run smoothly. And I'm going to give you the format, tell you how it works. We have a timekeeper here. She's very important. The speakers will get notification when they have approached the end of their time, and when they have run out of time, they get a big red stop sign. We have three people we call runners, and they are standing on the sides here, and if there are questions that come up that you would like asked, there are cards and pencils for you to write down your questions. We would love to hear your questions. And then we have two people here who are sorters, and they sort the questions because many of the questions turn out to be duplicates, et cetera. So we don't want to waste time asking the same question twice. The format will be like this. There will be an introductory statement from each candidate, which will last 1 minute. And then the forum will be open to questions. The questions, there will be a 1 minute time frame allowed to answer each question. Unless it's a complicated question, and if I judge that is the case, I will allow more time. And at the end, there will be a 1 minute summary of the candidate's position or the applicant's position. So with that, is everything clear? We're all straight up here. Understood? Good. All right, we shall begin, and we'll begin with Kristen Barnich, and she will make her 1 minute introductory statement.
Thank you. Good evening.
There we go. Okay. Good evening. My name is Kristen Barnich, and I would like to thank the League of Women Voters for hosting this forum tonight. I'm very excited to be considered for the vacant City Council seat. I graduated from Arroyo Grande High School. I've lived in Arroyo Grande for 31 years. I got my real estate license shortly after that and sold real estate until I had my two children, and then I quit work and raised them full-time. I've been involved in community service basically since quitting real estate. I am the president of the Tree Guild of Arroyo Grande, which is a nonprofit that I helped form in 2005. I'm the Planning Commission vice chair currently, and I have been on the Planning Commission for almost 7 years in January. And then I also am the chair of the urban forestry portion of the Arroyo Grande in Bloom, which is also a nonprofit here in Arroyo Grande. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dale Hansen. My education includes a master's in human resources organizational development, a bachelor of science in liberal arts, a bachelor of arts, in political science public administration. My experience includes military service, working for the federal government as a hourly employee, salaried non-exempt and salary exempt. I was recalled to active duty in 1980 to serve as a personnel officer in Germany. My human resource experience includes working for corporate America, K through 12 school districts, and a college.
County and municipal codes, the creation of county policy and revision of county policy. I've also had to develop grant guidelines and criteria, work within budget constraints as well as budget shortfalls that included the staffing reallocations, reduction in staffing, as well as staffing. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Burke.
Good evening, and thanks for having me. My name is Burke Nelson. I'm an attorney. I'm also a musician. I play the bass. But my most important role is that of a father. I'm a dad, a single dad, in fact, to two wonderful kids. I have a dancing, soccer-playing daughter who is 11 and a musician son who will be 14 tomorrow. I'm originally from Southern California. I've been living in the county here for about 6 years now and in AG for about two. I'm here tonight because I want to be the next city council member. I enjoy practicing law, but I want to do more with my life. I want to put my skills and talents to work for the greater good. AG is a great place to live, and it can be even better. There are a number of issues needing attention: the budget, economic development, infrastructure, housing, the environment, to name a few. My wish as a city council member would be to help make AG an even better place to live than it is now and for the future. I hope the city council will give me that opportunity to serve you in reaching this goal.
Thank you. Our first question more or less expands on your opening statement. So it's a chance for you to say a little more about yourself. Describe your experience, involvement in the city, and what strengths you believe you would bring to this position. We'll start this question with Kristen.
Thank you. Well, my experience has been for the last almost decade working with the city of Arroyo Grande. I was first appointed to the Architecture Review Committee in 2005, and I served on that committee for 2 years, and I really enjoyed that. In 2007, I was appointed to the Planning Commission, and I am now serving, I'm now the Vice Chair of the Planning Commission. Because of my almost decade service with the city, I'm very familiar with how the city operates. A lot of the Planning Commission items that we review move on up to the City Council, so I'm very familiar with the general plan, the design guidelines, land use, etc. And I have a great working relationship with the staff, and so I feel it would be a really smooth transition for me to move into the City Council seat. And since I've lived in Arroyo Grande for 31 years, I am very approachable, very accessible. I know many, many people, and they actually email me or talk to me on a daily basis about the city and what it's doing. Thank you.
Dale.
I've had limited experience with the city here since moving or relocating to Arroyo Grande in 2001, mainly because I took the advisement of my wonderful wife, who said that I needed to spend more time at home with our 11-year-old son than serving the community. And when I make reference saying serving the community, when I lived down in Southern California, I served both the school district as a personnel commissioner for 10 years in a voluntary role, and then also I served on the Police Chiefs Advisory Board to Westminster, and I served on the Civil Service Commission for Westminster, and she thought spending 3 nights a week out of the home was too much, especially in having an 11-year-old when we relocated here. Thank you.
Thank you. Barbara Harmon.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Describe your experience, involvement in the city, and what strengths you believe you would bring to this position.
Thank you. Yes, in addition to the experience I've already related, I've worked within a county system of government for 23 years, and part of my responsibilities as a supervisor was to protect the county from liability issues, which included sexual harassment claims, protected from workman's compensation claims, as well as working in strict confidentiality mandates. Also, I was a supervisor over a 5-year grant for, it was a DUI grant sponsored by the Office of Traffic and Safety. The city involvement that I've had really involves over the last 9 months. I've been attending the city council meetings and familiarizing myself with the process. In preparation for those meetings, I've actually reviewed several attachments, including the housing element update, the biannual budget reports for 03 and 015, among other documents. Thank you.
Thank you. Burke.
As a relatively new resident of AG, my experience with the city is somewhat limited, other than being a good neighbor and a good consumer. But I don't believe that this is a deficit. I bring energy, passion, I bring a new, fresh perspective. I have no agenda other than to serve the people.
They start developing those goals and objectives. They start looking at budget also, because if they're truly goals and objectives that the city council agrees with, then you have to provide the appropriate funding. I'm aware of the issue of whether they become a chartered city or not. I'm aware that they that could possibly be, shall we say, a minefield, because there are certain groups outside the city that would not want that to happen. In fact, they're trying to push through state legislation to prevent that from happening. I cannot think of anything else this time.
Thank you. Barbara.
Yes, thank you. The three important issues, non-budget-related issues facing our city, are water conservation, whether to move forward on the charter process, as well as the effects AB 109, which is the state prison realignment program, has had on our police resources and the community. In light of the ongoing drought situation in our state and the city, it is imperative that the city develops a comprehensive water conservation plan. It's important that goals are set for water reduction and that we optimize our water usage. Secondly, it has to do with the proceeding, whether it's prudent or not to and beneficial to proceed with the charter plan for the city. Recent legislation regarding SB 7 will likely have a direct impact on how the City Council proceeds with this issue. Lastly, the impact AB 109 has had on the police resources has been extreme, including an increase in crime. Thank you.
Thank you, Burke.
I agree with Ms. Hansen that water conservation is a very key issue, particularly in this area. I was delighted to see some raindrops on my windshield yesterday. Another issue is communication between the public and their elected officials. I'd like to see ways in which that could be improved as well.
Thank you. Kristen.
I have four items I'd like to work on. Definitely help come up with a long-term water solution. We all know that's an issue with the amount of rain that we don't have. I'd like to help develop a master plan for East Grand Avenue. The village is pretty nice and taken care of, and we've done some enhancements on Grand Avenue, but I'd really like to come up with a master plan where we kind of see where we want to be in 5 or 10 years. I'd also like to attract another hotel to Arroyo Grande. We have the Hampton Inn and we have some other hotels. There was talk of another hotel maybe moving into Arroyo Grande at some time ago, and I'd like to see that happen in order to encourage tourism and give some more money to our tax base. And then the other item is affordable housing. At the Planning Commission, we have developers come in and they pay in lieu fees instead of actually building the affordable housing into the project. And I'd like to see that used toward maybe an affordable apartment complex. Thank you.
The next question will start with Barbara. What do you think are the three most important budget priorities for the city?
Well, the general budget priorities would be to continue with the conservative fiscal policies that have been set in place since the economic downturn, as well as balancing the budget. Also, cost increases that are projected for the city's pension program, as well as unforeseen costs attributed to the implementation of the Affordable Care Act and how that may impact employee and retirees' health care costs. Also, the Branch Street interchange project, the police remodel and expansion, as well as maintaining current staff levels and the level of services we have now. Thank you.
Burke.
The three major issues I see are economic development, including job creation, business retention, business expansion and development, affordable housing to accommodate our diverse workforce, and infrastructure.
Thank you. Kristen.
I think that definitely the number one budget priority is the Briscoe interchange. We all know that's pretty congested over there, and I know that's in the works. That will be paid for with state and federal grants and some local sales tax revenue. The other item is the police facility. That's in the works as well, and the existing station will be renovated slightly. Will be renovated, and then there'll be a slight expansion. There'll be a parking lot added over there, and the corporate
will the infrastructure be in both the service yard and the plan of how to maintain our structures, our roadways and our sidewalks, etc.
Thank you. Before going on with the next question, I'd like to mention the fact that there are voter registration forms in the back, so if you have moved, you need to fill one out in preparation for the June election. So that's my little commercial. The next question, Burke, you will start with the answer and mention two or three good things about Arroyo Grande.
I think the greatest thing about Arroyo Grande are the people. I used to live in San Luis for 4 years, and then I moved here, and I just find that it is a much more welcoming community. I have neighbors that I know. I didn't know my neighbors when I lived in SLO. So I really enjoy my neighbors and the people that I've met here. There's really a sense of community. I also like the small town feel of AG. It's like no other place I've ever lived before. I feel extremely lucky to live here. It was kind of by fluke that I got here, but it was a fortuitous fluke.
Thank you. Kristen.
Well, I don't know where to start. I love Arroyo Grande. I've lived here for 31 years. We chose to come back here after my husband got his job in Santa Maria. And my kids were born and raised here. Historical resources, I love the old buildings. I've been a big advocate for old buildings for years. They really connect us to our past, and they make our city unique. A lot of cities have gotten rid of their old buildings, and I think that's a real mistake. The natural resources, I love that about Arroyo Grande. We have lots of trees, and those are good. It's not just to look at, but they slow down rainwater. They help alleviate flooding. They clean the air. And then our parks are wonderful. Our village is wonderful. The people are wonderful. Actually working with the city, I have to commend the city. I love working with them, and they're a great bunch to work for. So I could just gush all night long up here, but I'm done.
All right, Dale.
Yes, I think the small town environment is really nice. After locating from Southern California, I really appreciate it. In fact, if I tell the wife that we need to travel down to L.A., she wants to beat me up. But also, I think the neat thing about Arroyo Grande is we have our center hub, which is a city. And then most people are not aware of Arroyo Grande goes to unincorporated area because of the zip code. It's such a broad zip code that we get the advantage of things like Lopez, in the sense of people think of Lopez, they think of Arroyo Grande. And Lopez is actually in the county. Same with some of the areas down the Mesa, which is Arroyo Grande zip code, but it's external. And it gives us great influence on people visiting us and wanting to stay here and enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you. Barbara.
The three things would be our historical culture and charm, our community safety, and the opportunities for business growth. Our historical culture and charm is unique to our city and is a draw for tourists, enhances local business, and thus an important source of tax revenues. It promotes a sense of community and community pride, and as such must be protected. Also, a huge asset to our citizens is a sense of our security. The city has a reputation for being a safe place to live, and citizens and tourists are able to enjoy all the city has to offer without fear. Our city is a draw to new home buyers and businesses, and as a result of this reputation. Our city's commitment to public safety and the heroic efforts of our police department and fire authority must be protected. And lastly, we need to protect opportunities for business growth. Our city's location is a draw for businesses. The revenues generated by businesses are vital to the city. The means to promote, create, and expand business opportunities must not be hindered. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like you to take 2 minutes to answer the next question. I believe it's a little more complex. Lee, 2 minutes. An important decision will be coming before council in the near future. They must choose to put before the voters to become a charter city or remain a general law city. Please explain your position and the pros and cons. We'll begin with Kristen.
Okay, I'll be honest. I have researched this online. I've talked to the city manager, Steve, about it, but I have not given it much thought. On the Planning Commission, we haven't talked about this at all. I do know what it entails, and I do know there's lots of cities in California that have
creating the charter provisions. The benefits of a charter city would be having economic and fiscal independence that would promote the health and safety and welfare of our residents while preserving our small town charm and historical culture. Also, having the flexibility and authority to set policy and make decisions that are unique to our city would be a benefit to our cities. Just look at the benefits of acquiring West Branch Street from Caltrans has had on the ability for our city to promote our own festivals and the like. And also, in contrast, look at the detriment that the loss of redevelopment agency funds has had on city projects like the expansion of the police station. Having the flexibility to utilize prevailing wages versus being mandated to do so, regardless of the size of the project, is estimated as a cost savings for the city. However, prevailing wage is a very contentious issue related to the charter city process, and certainly with the passing of the Senate Bill 7 that now prohibits cities from receiving state funding for their construction projects and finances if the charter has a prohibition for the prevailing wage is something that will really need to be considered. Prior to SB 7 passing, I was really leaning forward to looking into the benefits of how the charter city would prevent us from falling into cookie-cutter legislation and a one-size-fits-all legislation from the state. Thank you.
Burke.
I, too, am not as well-versed in this particular issue as I would like to before you. However, on first blush, I think it might be a good idea to give that a shot, to go to become a charter city, because it allows us to change our form of governance to a style and a way that suits our city. And in doing so, it would give us more autonomy to determine the policies regarding city affairs, and I think that we could sculpt those policies to help us with our current fiscal crisis.
Thank you. The next question, we'll begin with Dale. Do you have experience with budgeting or made management decisions in your work experience?
Yes, both in corporate world and in public school districts and community college and county government. I worked on budgets and making those decisions, looking at both the forthcoming year and in the future vision. The corporate Northrop, in fact, when I first took over the job budgeting for the Human Resources Department, I went to our technology department and wanted to know when each computer that was assigned to our department came into existence. They were kind of taken back and shocked. I said, well, I need to know that because I need to do an aging plan on when I'm going to replace which computer at what time. That's the type of vision I'm used to, or appropriately looking at your total fleet of vehicles and how often you turn them over. how often you're going to look at replacing equipment. Having that vision and putting it into effect that you have a budget and you also have a reserve to take care of unexpected needs that arise.
Thank you. Barbara.
Yes, hi. I've also had experience working with the budget within the county system. Basically, every year we would be on a budget roller coaster depending on how fat or how lean the budget would be. That caused ongoing movement of staff, reallocation of staffing, and in some cases the reduction of staff. Also within the budget and management process, I became very familiar with running grants and developing grant guidelines and criteria. And the management decisions were based on personnel issues, work objectives, completing employee performance evaluation reports, as well as setting policy and creating policy, as well as implementing procedures when you were given state mandates without the funding to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Burke.
Hi. In running my own private law practice, I am the chief accountant, the chief bottle washer, and chief everything. Yes, I have to balance my budget every month or I go out of business. Also, as a parent, I mentioned earlier I'm a single parent. I'm operating a one-income household, so you better believe that I'm capable of managing a budget, staying in the black.
Thank you. Kristen.
Thank you. I, too, have to balance our budget for our family. We're a single-income household, and I'm on a tight budget a lot of the times. So my husband's very conservative. I am in charge of the budget for my nonprofit, the Tree Guild of Arroyo Grande. We don't have a huge budget, but all of our money comes from donations, so I am very, very picky when I figure out how we're going to spend that money because people have donated it. I'm in charge of that budget. Also for the PTA, Ocean View PTA,
Very good question. As the question indicates, there's been a lot of things that have come across the city's desk related to how best to utilize it. Of course, it would have been a perfect location for the police department, but again, loss of redevelopment agency funding as well as the downturn in economy has prevented that from going forward. I think it would be important to really take a serious look at what fiscal means the city would have to promote a development project. I know recently we were trying to sell the three lots that are adjacent to that vacant lot area to help offset costs for the police redevelopment, and that has been a hard sell for folks. So perhaps if we can develop a comprehensive plan for that lot, the city would benefit as well because those other vacant lots would be more feasible and people may want to actually buy them and develop them too. Otherwise, a specific type of perhaps maybe a recreation center, anything that would boost tax revenues for the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Burke.
Well, that's a very good question. I honestly don't know what I would want to use that for. I would have to do a little research, pavement pounding, ask people, ask questions. However, I think that ideally to come up with some type of use where the lot would actually be used rather than lay fallow, ideally some type of income-generating use would be ideal, would be the best use of that space. However, also perhaps a recreation area or a garden or something that would attract the residents of AG and visitors as well for their use and enjoyment.
Thank you. Kristen.
Yes, thank you. I haven't given it much thought, but just as you were asking the question, I think that it would be a great place for a community swimming pool. If anyone knows about the aquatics in Arroyo Grande, we use the Arroyo Grande High School pool, and it is so completely impacted that we have to overflow to the Napomo pool. A lot of communities have beautiful community pools, and we don't. And I've heard actually, I hang out with swim people, so I've heard from a lot of people that they would love to have that. And we could charge people. And, of course, this is just came into my mind right now, but I think that is something this community doesn't have, and it promotes exercise. It's someplace nice for the kids to hang out where they're not causing trouble, and I think it's actually very needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Dale?
I'm also in the same situation. I have not considered what to do with the lot, but truthfully, I think that would be a great project for Cal Poly Planning Department to look at that and say what would be smart to do with the thing. They could possibly come up with several ideas that we wouldn't even think of in a normal small form of vested interests, if you will. Because sometimes the college students can be really creative with their ideas and looking at the budget issues and this and that. So that's what I think.
Thank you. The next question, Burke, you will be answering first. This is a long one. Our neighbors are growing more than 20 redwood trees, some already reaching as high as 50 feet, on their half-acre lot in front of our canyon view that we have enjoyed for 35 years. These shallow-rooted, rapidly growing trees are a fire and wind hazard. Reduce sunlight and solar panel opportunities, and the branches encroach on our property. Our neighbors refuse to control the tree growth, and city staff told us that they have no enforcement options because there is no view ordinance. And the tree ordinance doesn't address tree hazards or nuisances. What should the city council do to reduce such problems?
That's a very interesting question. It reminds me of a case I read in law school about the Fontainebleau Hotel, where the court reasoned that there is no easement for light and air. That would be no view ordinance. I would imagine that the best thing to do would be to sit down and try to come up with a creative solution to this problem with the property owners and the city council. I imagine there are some creative people out there, and additional research would probably show that there are some cases out there where the city council would have some footing, would have some leverage regarding safety issues with regards to the roots and so forth of the trees. So I think that one would hope that you could reach a reasonable agreement or settlement with this situation rather than have to go to litigation. But as a last resort, there is litigation.
Thank you.
But it's a slippery slope. What some people see as a 30-foot tree impairment, someone else would see as an 8-foot tree impairment. So where do you go with that? That's number one. And number two, I know I live on the side of a hill and have an ocean view. When I bought my property, I knew what the restrictions were across the street from me, so my view is not impacted any time. But not many people are aware to look the next step when they buy property and say, what is it, and do we have an entitlement to have that view forever? And that would be the issue of the law school again of, maybe there's not a permanent entitlement to view.
Thank you. Barbara?
Well, when I first heard the question, I thought it was like back in my math days, like a word problem or something. And it's like, I don't know how much gas it takes to get to the airport. But seriously, I think I would need to know a little bit more about the circumstances regarding their lot size, where the trees are located, also if mediation, not like formal mediation, you know, using city staff, but what other attempts have they had regarding over the side, I guess, across the fence discussions related to this issue, and then with that, see what options are available to try to resolve the issue. I think I really feel for the homeowners that view is being blocked, but I also think that the mention of a view ordinance, you'd have to really look at that very closely. I think I would be more opposed to having the city council go into any formal agreement to resolve the issue without knowing how exhaustive the responses have been so far. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question, Kristen, you will be the first to answer. Are you familiar with the Arroyo Grande Climate Action Plan? And what is your position on the proposed climate action plan?
Thank you. Well, the Planning Commission has, I think we've done two workshops regarding the, it's actually called a toolbox, and it's basically it's come down from the state that we have to reduce our greenhouse gases by 2020. I think we have to take them back to 1990 levels, and so we, the city actually hired a consultant to give us all these different measures to things that will reduce our greenhouse gases, and it's a huge document, and we looked at it twice, and I was all for the document that the consultant came up with. There were some incredible ideas where they actually told us if we did this, it would reduce our greenhouse gases by this much, and I was pretty impressed by all the work that was put into it by staff and the consultant. So I hope that answers the question. Thank you.
Okay. Dale.
I'm not familiar with the subject at all.
Okay.
Pass.
Barbara?
Arroyo Grande Climate Action Plan. Again, it sounds like this is a state mandate coming down for cities to look at to try to improve our greenhouses, but I have not looked at the document either.
And Burke?
I did look at it. I found it online as I was preparing for this event this evening, and yet it was so big and unwieldy, I just said, this is just too much. It was quite overwhelming. There was a bit in there. The table of contents went on for about 3 pages. I do know that it has to do with the reduction of greenhouse gases, but I looked at it, and it was a little overwhelming. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm not sure whether you can answer the next question, but I'll ask it. And Dale, you'll start. In the context of last year's issues at South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, please define your understanding of conflicts of interest.
I'm somewhat familiar with what transpired, what I read in the news media. I'm not familiar with all the details, but on conflict of interest, my position was mentioned in a court case that went all the way to the California Supreme Court, and it dealt with a district employee that management wanted to promote, and basically after the eligibility list, after the eligibility list was developed and the employee came out number one on the list, her husband was a member of the Board of Trustees. I basically notified her that in accordance with the government code, education code.
Perhaps if there can be other measures put into place that can foresee potential conflicts of interest and have measures in place to try to navigate those before it develops into something that occurred at the South County Sanitation District. Maybe that's something we can all learn from that now that it's back up and running and in good stead. Thank you.
Burke?
I regret that I'm not familiar with this particular issue. However, with respect to conflicts of interest, I agree with Ms. Harmon that it's unfortunate that a more of a effective vetting process could have taken place before all of this appears to have blown up because of the wasted resources and money spent during the vetting process. Thank you.
Kristen.
Thank you. I only know about it from what I've read in the press, and I really can't really add much to it. It was a mess. I think that we know that, whoever read the papers, and I don't really have much to add. Thank you.
Okay. Next question. Barbara, you will begin with the answers. How do you ensure civil discourse at public meetings? How would you handle situations when speakers are rude or overly zealous?
I think it's important with the public forum that occurs at the city council meetings that every citizen has an opportunity to say what's on their mind. Of course, there needs to be some parameters and boundaries with that regarding dealing with rude and unruly, I guess, residents or citizens. I think it would be important to hear them out, but also gently remind them and try to redirect them that if they're raising their voice, if they're being rude, to approach them in such a way that it's more calming and not engage them, not challenge them, but really let them have them say their say. And sometimes you just have to put up with rude people. It may not be appropriate, but sometimes you just have to prepare yourself for that and let them have their say and try to prepare for the next time that person may approach. But it's important that they do have their say because that's part of our city government process.
Thank you, Burke.
I would not lose my cool. I would not be baited. I would remain calm and respectful towards that person. I would allow them to express their opinion. I would thank them for their opinion. And I would, as I said, treat them with respect. However, if they were truly unruly, I would ask them to leave. And if they still did not leave, I would hope that there would be some security or officials there that could remove that person from the room if they're truly disrupting the event, because it's not only would not only be me who suffers, but all the participants and the process too. Thank you.
Kristen.
Thank you. I have actually chaired a planning commission meeting where we had a huge amount of people that came to speak on a project. And we have a time limit of 3 minutes. When I was the chair at that meeting, people went way over the three-minute rule. They were very excited. Sometimes it's the most entertaining part of the meeting because they're spirited, and so it's interesting to listen to them to their different viewpoints. So they're not allowed to address. They can't turn around and address the back of the audience. They need to address the council or the planning commission as a whole, and that helps keep them in line. And if there's not a whole bunch of people there, we do let them have more than 3 minutes. And I think that that's a very important part of the public process, and I think Arroyo Grande's done a good job of listening to their citizens. Thank you.
Dale.
I think there's one thing of being a city council member and being the leader of the city council or the mayor, as who's controlling the meeting. Obviously, the leadership needs to take control, allow the individuals to speak their piece, but also enforce the standards of the Brown Act and not getting into rebuttal, rebates, or anything else to them. Because the Brown Act is very clear that they can have input, but there's no need for the committee to respond to them. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to put two questions together. They're not exactly on the same thing, but they're a similar topic. Would you be in favor of widening Valley Road and Fair Oaks and extending to Highway 1? There needs to be... Okay, thank you. Kristen.
Can you repeat both those questions, please?
Would you be in favor of widening Valley Road and Fair Oaks and extending to Highway 1? There needs to be added paving for parking and picking up students at Arroyo Grande High School. The second question... When can we expect to have a sidewalk put in by Paulding Curve so those of us on the east side of the city can safely walk to the village?
Okay, thank you for that. The Paulding Curve there, I imagine they're talking about one side of the street that doesn't have the wall that's crumbling. The wall that's crumbling that's next to Paulding Curve, actually that is, that's, I think, in the budget to be fixed. And on the other side, I would be in favor of a sidewalk. I walk all over the place. But just thinking about that area, I'm not sure. There's a steep drop-off, so I'm not sure there's enough land there. And it's very narrow to begin with. So I would love a sidewalk there. I'm not sure if the way the land is supports that. The widening of Valley Road and Fair Oaks, there is a problem with traffic over at the high school. So just thinking about that, that might be a good idea, but I haven't looked into that, and my apprehension is because there's agricultural land that runs all along the Fair Oaks and Valley Road, and I don't know if the farmer would really want us to take his land. I mean, so I don't just... It sounds like a good idea, but I think there's a lot more that goes into it. Thank you. Dale.
Yes, Crispin actually hit on what I was going to talk about, which is the fact that it's agricultural area in that area. And I've seen issues here previously that agricultural prevailed over common sense of rerouting a road because it would impact the farming area. But also it's a school district issue. We'd have to work with the school district and see what we could do on widening stuff. That's on the Valley Road in Fair Oaks. On the sidewalk issue, even though my son went to Paulding, I don't recall right now what that's like, but I will say there's areas and communities here in Royal Grande that the sidewalks are only one side of the street in order to make sure the streets are wide enough for a fire apparatus to move around. So beyond that, and if there's something in the budget plan already, then it's in the budget plan. So the priority within the city is what we do first. Thank you.
Thank you. Barbara.
Yes, I think I would need to know regarding the widening of the Valley Road and the Fair Oaks and connecting that to 101. I'd be really curious to know if the concerns about the widening have to do with peak hours, i.e. during the school going and the school letting out. Also, before I could say anything about whether I would support it or not, I'd really need to know the fiscal impacts to the city. I don't believe that it's currently budgeted in the biannual budget, and I don't believe it's in the capital improvement programs currently slated. So as far as it happening in the future, probably not until after 2015, and certainly not without the fiscal resources. Related to the Paulding curve, I know the men's club has a plan that they're going to actually rebuild the retaining wall on the west side. That might also lead to a little bit more widening of that area, but again, for the east side sidewalk, I don't believe that's currently in the budget forecast. Thank you.
Next question, and Kristen, you will be the first to answer. Do you support creating a fire authority assessment district?
I'm not sure yet. That I'd have to study that for days and days and hours and hours. I have read a little bit about it. My husband's a firefighter. He's a fire battalion chief. So I don't know if I want to just go out on a limb and say that I would support it. I'd study the issue very, very thoroughly, as I always do for my meetings, and I'd ask a million questions. That's what I do, and I'd make a good decision, I think. Thank you.
Dale.
I'm familiar with the concern going on about the fire assessment district, but I've not made my mind whether that's good or bad or indifferent. And thank God it's something that has to go to the voters, and I don't have to make that decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Barbara.
Before I would be able to move forward in making a decision on the fire assessment district, I would need to actually review the proposed
impact on our budget. However, again, I would need to take a good look at all of the issues that are involved in this before I could offer a good opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. This is our last question, and Dale, you will be the first to answer it. We seem to have several good candidates, but can only select one. If not selected, would you want to serve on an appointed body, for example, the Planning Commission? Dale?
I would consider it, but I'd have to also look at the constraints and restrictions placed upon when they meet, how often, things like that.
Thank you. Barbara?
Regardless of the outcome of this process, I had planned to run for election in 2014. So I think part of the consideration of being appointed to the Planning Commission, which I think would be would certainly broaden my experience and prepare me for a position on the City Council, I'd really want to weigh that, because I would not want to take away from the Planning Commission and get seated, and then not only, 6 months or, 9 months later, to have to then start up a campaign for running for a City Council election. So I think those would be my two concerns about that. The Planning Commission is a very important position within our community, and I wouldn't want to just get up and walk away from it knowing that I had intentions of running for election. Thank you.
Burke?
I absolutely would. While I, too, am strongly considering and do plan on running in 2014, if I was to be appointed, I would accept that position because I'm here to serve. I am very excited to just jump in and serve the people of this wonderful community. And plans change. Yes, I'm planning on running in the fall of 2014, but if I was to accept an appointment, well, that would be that. So definitely.
Thank you. Kristen?
Well, I already serve on the Planning Commission, and I love serving on the Planning Commission. If selected to be seated as a City Council person, I'll be really sad to leave the Planning Commission. I love working with all the commissioners on there, and it has a really nice space in my heart, and so I'll be sad to leave, but I'm ready to do something else. Thank you.
All right, since that was our last question, then we will have your closing remarks. And we will begin with you, Kristen, for that.
Thank you. I want to thank the League of Women Voters for putting on this forum. We had a good turnout, filled most of the seats, so that was good. And I also want to thank the people that filled out the index cards, and we had some good questions that came out of nowhere and I wasn't expecting, so that's always nice, keep you on your feet. I want to say that I'm very excited to be given the opportunity to be one of the applicants for the City Council seat. If chosen, I'll work as hard as I've worked on the Planning Commission, the Architectural Review Committee, and I love this city, and I want nothing more than to serve on the City Council. Thank you.
Thank you. Dale.
Yes, I also like to thank the League of Women Voters for putting this on. It's been very enjoyable this evening. I appreciate the questions and the type. And I'll be very pleased to serve if the board or the council decides to appoint me. But also, I should make a correction in the Tribune. It stated that I'd served on the State Personnel Board. That's incorrect. It was a State Personnel Board that appointed me to serve as a School Personnel Commissioner, and then I was reappointed two additional times by the State Superintendent of Public Education. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Barbara.
Thank you. I think I would like to just reemphasize, I liken my duties with the county as a supervisor and compare that with a role as a City Council member, in that I was required to review staff reports and exhibits, staff findings and recommendation, weigh the fiscal impacts, liability concerns, and provide staff with a decision or further direction. At the forefront was always what was the best interest of the county. As a council member, that decision would be determining the best course of action for the city and its members. My strengths are I'm a consensus builder, team player, I'm detail-oriented and have strong people skills. I know the importance of having a cohesive team in city government. I also have the ability to set personal differences aside for the greater good and a commitment not to let political philosophies dictate decision-making. I'm focused in my dedication to serve and to obtain the best outcomes for the city. I appreciate the opportunity to let you hear my story. Thank you very much.
opinions and solutions and communicate clearly those opinions and solutions. I am also a skilled negotiator and mediator. Finally, I'm a logical thinker with a strong work ethic, moral core, and desire to serve the public. It would be my pleasure to be your next city council member.
Thank you. Now, since we're out of questions, our forum is basically finished. I'd like to thank you as an audience. Your questions were very, very good. I'd like to thank the city manager, Steve Adams, for setting everything up so beautifully, and our applicants for doing so well with the questions. And I hope everyone has received enough information on the city council now to make a very good decision. Thank you.